Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth. It's a nice summer day, blue skies here in beautiful downtown Burbank, Buena Vista Boulevard. Allegedly. No, today I'm in Worcester. Actually, West Boylston. West Boylston. We are known for having a reservoir that sends all our water to Boston. So you can follow us at the Facebook site, No Compromise Radio's Facebook. You can follow us at Worldview Weekend. We're glad to partner with Brannon there at Worldview Weekend. You can follow us at TuneIn Radio. We have a YouTube station, No Compromise Radio. You can go to our website, nocompromiseradio.com. There'll be a new website out soon. Quite a few new projects scheduled for this fall. And I'll just give you the teaser. I can't tell you what they are, but lots of new things happening. So we're trying to make a push. Josh and I are trying to make a push with No Compromise Radio to do a little updating, some special new things, features, shows, segments. It's going to be wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I am old enough to remember Sunday nights, I believe, maybe it was Saturday nights, watching Lawrence Welk over at my grandparents' house. And they would watch Lawrence Welk while we would all drink highballs. Well, I have the Shirley Temple. I think she just recently died, by the way, in Northern California. But I would not have the highballs. But my grandparents and my parents did. I think they worked, unfortunately. So if you want to email me, you can email me at mike@nocompromiseradio.com, or if you want to just write to info, and Spencer would be glad to help you as well. And so Israel 2015, we've got some slots open. I'm surprised we do. I mean, this is such a worldwide phenomenon, No Compromise Radio. You'd think that the bus would be full. We're going to be in Israel for 9 days. This will be my fourth trip over, third time leading a group. And in all seriousness, what I love about leading a group of folks to Israel, now that I know the scoop, is I just say, take us to all the good spots. I don't need to go to that particular spot. I don't need to go to that other spot where they build some chapel and everybody gets down and kisses the ground. I need to see places that, you know, I want to spend time in the Sea of Galilee, where you can't build a Catholic church on top of that yet. So that's kind of fun, because every morning I will meet with the Israeli guide and driver, and then we plan out the day with my brother Pat Abendroth along, and so we'll plan the day for the most amount of fun, and it is go, 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 9 days, and then off to Jordan so we can go into Moab to see the wonderful city of Petra. And you can find out that Indiana Jones, when he ran into the treasury, there's nowhere to run into after that. It's just there. There's no back rooms, but in the movie you think there is. And then one of the most dramatic things for me when I went to Israel the first time, or Jordan the first time, was standing on Mount Nebo. And as you know, Mount Nebo is the spot where Moses could look down and see the promised land. Never made it. And God buried Moses. And to look around thinking, somewhere around here, I'm sure lots of people have tried to dig up, find Moses' body, use him for some kind of icon or something. But can't find Moses' body. We'd love to have you go. You can go to nocompromiseradio.com, and the top right, it says Israel 2015. We'll need your registration form and money by October 1st. All right? So today we're talking a little bit about suffering for Christians, part two. What do you tell a Christian who is going through a difficult time? A time where they are wondering, how long will this go? Can I endure another day? This Christian could be on their deathbed, or they could be going through difficulties at work. They could be in the Middle East or in Africa, Northern Africa, getting persecuted for their faith. Any kind of suffering, this is good for a Christian. I would even say that even if you're receiving the chastening hand of God and you're suffering under the rod of God, the loving rod of God, this advice is still good for you. And what I love about it, it is that it confirms everything I know about Scripture and who God is and the importance of doctrine. Doctrine, theology, theo, God, logos, word, a word about God. Theology leads to methodology, a word about methods, which leads to doxology, glory, a word of glory. And so we need theology in our lives. I think it's a lie straight out of the pit. Well, down with doctrine. We don't need doctrine. Paul was a doctrinal preacher. Jesus was a doctrinal preacher. John the Baptist was a doctrinal preacher. Isaiah was a doctrinal preacher. Whitfield was a doctrinal preacher. MacArthur's a doctrinal preacher. S.O.S. Johnson's a doctrinal preacher. And if I have any gumption at all, I want to be a doctrinal preacher as well, even when it comes to suffering. Now, there's a way to talk. When I'm talking to someone who's suffering, I'm talking just like I am right now. I'm not in my preacher mode. I'm not in my heralding mode. I'm in my bedside manner mode. And I want to, even with my voice, communicate sympathy, right? Or empathy, if possible. So what do you tell people who are suffering? Let's make it very, very practical. Somebody that you know is in the hospital and you want to go visit them, Christian people in the hospital, Christian person. And so you say to yourself, if you're smart, you say things like this: I should go visit this person. I'd like to be visited. So I want to show them love. I should probably bring someone with me, like one of my kids, so I can teach them what to do as well. And then I should figure out what to say when I say to the patient, would you like me to read you some scripture? I should have something in the back of my mind. Now they might say, could you please read me John 10? I love to read that in hospital. Could you read me Psalm 46, Psalm 23, Psalm 103, Romans chapter 8? Those are wonderful hospital psalms and portions of Paul's writings. But you should know ahead of time, I think this would be good to say. And so today we talk about 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and following, as what you talk to Christians about when they're suffering, and that is, you talk about who the Lord is, the great triune God who saves, who's sovereign, and we get the attention right from the get-go. Oh, we can talk about other things later, but from the very beginning, we're going to talk about who God is and the sovereignty of God and how he starts something. He's certainly going to be faithful to complete it. And so today on No Compromise Radio, 1 Peter chapter 1, part 2, counsel for the suffering Christian. Remember, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge, the preset love of God, in eternity past where God put his love on to people, set his love on people in the sanctification of the Spirit. So you've got the Father and the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood, the great triune salvation of God. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Every kind of blessing, from the Greek blessing to the Hebrew blessing. This is what I want for you, suffering Christians who are exiles, no home. You're running. Literally, you're running. You grab the kids and you think, I got to run. I got to run for my life. They're trying to kill me and my kids. Run. What do you tell the people? He begins to praise God. And this is what his readers need to hear. This is what his readers need to do after they hear it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, the sovereign mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is good news for a suffering Christian. That's exactly what Peter does. That's exactly what he does. He says, you have been loved in eternity past. You've been loved in the present, and you're going to be loved in the future, and there's going to be an inheritance. You have God as a father, and if God is your father, you're a son or a daughter. And when a father, in his generosity, gives an inheritance, you get an inheritance as well, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading in verse 4. Can you believe it? You're born into this inheritance. Now, my mother, believe it or not, was friends with Warren Buffett. And Mr. Buffett, even though he gives money to crazy causes, as far as I know, he's not a Christian man. I would love him to be one. And his aunt, who loaned him his first $10,000, was our family friend. As a matter of fact, I even have her Bible. And can you imagine if I was in his will? When my mother was sick, he actually gave some money to our family to help with the sickness. And he only gave out of his wealth. He didn't give according to his wealth, because if he gave according to his wealth, we would be millionaires by now. When God gives according to the foreknowledge of God, well, that's a little bit different. But see, the free gift of the inheritance, we were born into the family of God, and we receive this inheritance, and it's reserved in heaven. You know, people's inheritances fade, and they falter, and they are stolen. Look at what Peter says about this great inheritance. First of all, it's imperishable. And so every one of these words, in English it says imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And there's an A in front of each of the Greek words. So there's some alliteration here. And they're all alpha privatives. And so they give you a word like the first one with imperishable. It means corrupt, not a corruptible. It can't be ruined. It can't pass away. It can't decay. And so if you would look back in secular literature, an army would ravage and bring to nothing something. Well, your inheritance is always going to stick around. It's imperishable. There's another word that's used. In English, it says undefiled. And here we have the alpha privative with A in front of some kind of defile by staining, or ruining, corrupting with contamination, soiling. And so you can't soil, you can't have your inheritance impured. I just made up a word. Impured. My name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. Out of my www.donotbesurprised.com mug, I must have some Pete's coffee. What am I doing? Crazy. Undefiled. And will not fade away. Unfading is what the ESV says. In the Greek, there's an alpha privative in front. It negates the word that follows, and so you have fade, a fadable, a what would be a better way to say it so I don't have to make up another new word? It's interesting that according to one commentator, thus literally unfading. It was a word found on several tombstone inscriptions, which will fade away, but not our inheritance in Christ. So the people, God's people, don't ever fade away. And you put that on a tombstone, these people are unfading. Even though the tombstone itself will fade, the people won't fade because of what God has done. It is an inheritance that doesn't fade. Flowers, they fade, they wither, but God perpetually keeps his people. Spurgeon said, "Joy, my brethren, in the glorious inheritance which is prepared for you. Unstained, uncorrupted, perfectly pure, and therefore to last forever, because the elements which produce decay are not in it. It is without sin, and therefore it will be without end. What a mercy it is to be kept by the power of God. See, heaven is kept for us, and we are kept for heaven. Heaven is prepared for us, and we are prepared for heaven. There's a double action of God's grace thus working in us, sad working for us unto eternal bliss." And see, the trial that you're in, it's not going to last forever. But your eternal inheritance will. And that word inheritance is really, it's a cool word. It means to distribute something that's, put into many pieces, and then you divvy it up. Isn't that interesting? Literally, lot and distribute. You distribute the lot. What's yours, you get. And so this kind of talk already makes me stop thinking about all my own troubles and who God is and what he's promised to do and how faithful he is. And it lifts my eyes away from my problems up into the Lord. And that's why my grandmother-in-law, Grandma Evie, always had that phrase, and that slogan, that unforgettable slogan. What'd she say again? Knock, knock, who's there? To who? To whom? That was not her slogan. What was her slogan? That you need to gaze on the Lord and only glance at your trials. Because if you gaze on your trials and just glance at the Lord, you're going to see things, perceive things, think through things wrongly. And so that's exactly what Peter is doing here. Paul did the same thing. I mean, it sounds almost exactly the same, doesn't it? Well, because it is exactly the same to start. Ephesians 1:3. I might have said 1:4 earlier. I meant 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the same language. "Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then Paul does what Peter does. He starts off with sovereign grace, with election talk, with predestination talk, with chosen talk. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Peter is going to say basically what Paul has said. You're a Christian because God made you one. And when God starts something, he finishes it. And so it started your salvation in eternity past, and it's going to culminate in eternity future. And so you ought not to worry, because even though this hurts, even though you're troubled, even though you're squeezed in this mold of sin and misery's trial, there's a future for you, and it's a glorious future, and God has done it all. God has caused you to be born again. I want you to get that in your mind. I say it often because we live in such an Arminian world, such a God-neglecting salvation world. It's God who caused you to be born again. Your free will didn't cause your salvation. Your faith didn't cause your salvation. Why are people opposed to this kind of language of 1 Peter? I think D. James Kennedy, although he was wacky with the Stars book, he was anything but wacky with this quote. The reason people today are opposed to it, sovereignty of God and salvation, is because they will have God be anything but God. He can be a cosmic psychiatrist, a helpful shepherd, a leader, teacher, anything at all, only not God. For a very simple reason, they want to be God themselves. Salvation, your salvation, is based upon God's work, God's plan, God's decree. Not even your faith saves you, right? It's saved because of my faith? No, not at all. God has to cause our salvation, because if God looked down the corridors of time, he would know that we were sinful and that we were rebellious. And so God saves in spite of us. John Calvin said, when God elects us, it's not because we were handsome. Not at all. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. The cause was the grace of God. The cause was the love of God, Ephesians 2, 4. But the instrument of means is faith. You were saved by grace through faith. That's not the ground or the cause. Salvation depends on God and his work, not on your faith. Faith isn't some work that earns salvation. It's not some meritable thing. It's not a quality. It's not a virtue. It's not something that you come up with on your own. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says, lest faith should be in any way misinterpreted as man's contribution to his own salvation, Paul immediately adds a rider to explain that nothing is of our doing, but everything is the gift of God. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not because of, not on account of, but through. Romans 3:22, exact same language. Even the righteousness of God through faith. Romans 3:25, God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Not on account of. True or false? Faith in Christ saves. Well, if you want to be technical, it's false. It is Christ that saves through faith. Isn't that better? I think that's much better. I think that's eternally better. You're saved by grace through faith, and this is not of you. This grace by faith salvation, or I mean this, this grace through faith salvation isn't of you. Spurgeon, at every point of the process of salvation, this word is appropriate, not of yourselves. From the first desire after it to the full reception of it by faith, it is evermore of the Lord alone and not of ourselves. The man believes, but that belief is only one result among many of the implantation of divine life within the man's soul by God himself. Faith doesn't save. It's not the cause. It's not meritorious. It's not some kind of faculty or something that is boastable. Is that a word? We just make up words here, No Compromise Radio. That's why I think when you even talk about your salvation, you should make you passive and God active instead of flipping around the other way. People give their testimonies and they don't talk like the Bible talks regularly, most often. It's God chose, God predestined, God willed you to be saved. God did this freely. Salvation is from the Lord. God's sovereign in salvation. He gets the credit. And that's what Peter wants to have people think of. God did all this. What if you had to save yourself and then glorify yourself? Well, what kind of hope would that give to a Christian that is in a horrible trial? Doesn't give any hope. But God starts salvation and he's faithful to complete it. And God saves by himself, for himself, to please himself, only consulting with himself. He's only answerable to himself. And he does the choosing. He does the saving. He does the willing, because our wills are enslaved to our own nature. So my name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. You can write us at info@nocompromiseradio.com. You can also go to our church website, too, to hear some of the sermons from Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's bbcchurch.org, bbcchurch.org. Don't forget, we'd love to have you go to Israel with us. February 2015. You can get the information there on our website. And stay tuned for some exciting new NoCo developments this fall.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.